Live and direct. You know what it is. It's the morning drip. Now I know I am going to be jumping live in the morning. I need to live in that punk. Go. No, man, each everybody get into their mood. I want smooth tip, man. Smooth R&B, smooth jazz, mellow fellow, man. You did. So, I think I'm a late one. Good morning to all. Hope all is well. You know, all is not well. Amber Alert. That's what happens. Amber Alert. Gotta be vigilant out there. Yes, sir. So, this morning we're going to get into it as usual, get into our flow. I'm still medicating, that is. I'm still getting my earth on here. A little bit on that. Told you I got that herbal tea. To wake your game up, kind of flush your system out. Main ingredients, neem and turmeric. After that, you can do whatever you feel you want it. But them two main ingredients are healing proprieties and the good for you. So check into that. So once I get everything in me, of course, we will get into the topics this morning. We're going to a couple of different things I want to read to you. Read to us all. The Racial Integrity Act of 1924. And some people say, well, what do that got to do with right now? Huh? Look around. I don't know what you see that's been going on. If nothing changed. Nothing changed. If none of the folks have been on the front line screaming for civil rights for us, ain't nothing changed. If you think so, okay. Yeah, you're still on the bottom. You're in the bottom rail. So nothing's changed. Okay? We're going to get into that, and then we'll get into the word today, republic. What does republic mean? What is a republic? That's what we're going to get into that as well. Hello, everybody who just tuning in. We live at Suleiman Bay in the morning drip. The prisoner stuff today. We'll get into some stuff. And I want to read, I want to start off reading this this record. Get my throat finished and wet. From South Carolina. It's the Sundry Moore's Act. I want to read this to you. This is from the State Records of South Carolina. You go look this up for yourself. Journals of the House of Representatives, 1789 through 1790. Michael E. Stevens, editor. Kristen M. Allen, assistant editor. Published for the South Carolina Department of Archives and History by the University of South Carolina Press, Columbia, South Carolina, 8557. Copyright AC, 1984. By the South Carolina Department of Archives and History, first edition, published in Columbia, South Carolina, by the University of South Carolina Press, manufactured in the United States of America. The ISBN is 087-249-9448. That's 20th January, 1790. Okay. Page 6363, continuing from previous page, there too, our committee are Mr. Hughes Redlich, Major Pickney, and Mr. Dees. House Journal 4, January 1790 through 20, January 1790. A petition was presented to the House from sundry free Moors, subjects of the Emperor of Morocco and residents in this state. Listen. A petition was presented to the House from sundry free Moors. What house? This is in South Carolina. Okay. A petition was presented to the House from sundry free Moors, subjects of the Emperor of Morocco and residents in this state, praying that in case they should commit any fault amendable to be brought to justice, that they as subjects to a prince in alliance with the United States of America may be tried under the same laws as the citizens of this state would be liable to be tried, and not under the Negro Act, which was received and read. Now, let's back up. First and foremost, we're in South Carolina. Now, three Moors petitioning the house. Okay? Now, they're subjects of Morocco. They reside, but they reside in the state. What does that mean? Subjects of Morocco and reside in the state. And if they're subjects of Morocco and they reside in the states, what that got to do with the United States and being here? Because that's probably what you're saying. Well, hell, this ain't Morocco. Now, that's what you got to get an understanding of. Subjects of the Emperor of Morocco and residents in this state. What is a state? Maybe that should be the word of the day. Because a lot of us over here don't know what a state is. A state is synonymous with nation. Each state is a nation. State has its own constitution, its own Supreme Court, its own law, in conjunction with the Supreme Law. Yeah. So, they were subjects of Morocco and residents in the state. And it said, praying that in case they should commit any fault amendable to be brought to justice, that they as subjects to a prince in alliance. So Morocco and the United States are in alliance? Well, how did you figure that out? What proof do you have of that? What kind of alliance do they have? Now, that's when you go to the Treaty of Peace and Friendship. See, then you start backtracking and you start figuring out, oh, what is that? It's on the records, on the book. Oh, you need to find out some things. I gave you that information. Okay. This is the humble petition of Francis Danielle Hammond and Samuel, three Moors, in behalf of themselves and their wives, Fatima, Flora, Sarah, Clarinda, humbly showeth that your petitioners, some years past, had the misfortune while fighting in the defense of their country to be captured with their wives and made prisoners of war by one of the kings of Africa. Listen. That a certain Captain Clark had them delivered. That's a honeycomb. Excuse me. That a certain Captain Clark had them delivered to him on a promise that they should be redeemed by the Emperor of Morocco, Moroccan ambassador, being united in England, in order to have them return to their own instead of which he brought them to this state and sold them for slaves. Since that period, they have by the greatest industry been enabled to purchase their freedom from their respective masters. And now prayeth your honorable house that as freeborn subjects of a prince, now in alliance with these United States, that they to a law of this state, now in force, called the Negro Law. But if they should unfortunately be guilty of any crime or misdemeanor against the laws of the land, that they may have a just trial by a lawful jury. And your petitioners, as in duty bound, would ever pray. 1. Order that it be referred to a committee. The following gentlemen were accordingly appointed, Mr. Justice Green, General Pinckney, and Mr. Edward Rutledge. Mr. Edward Rutledge reported from the committee to whom was referred the petition of the Free Moors, which he read in his place and afterwards delivered it at the clerk's table where it was again read for information. Order that it be taken into immediate consideration, which being read through was agreed to and is as follows, viz. Report. That they had considered the same and are of opinion that no law of this state can, in its construction or operation, apply to them, and that persons who were subjects of the Emperor of Morocco, being free in this state, are not triable by the law for the better ordering and governing of Negroes and other slaves. Resolved that this house do agree with the report. So, y'all want to keep saying that you're black? You want to keep holding on to saying that you're black? You see what they petitioned the court for? Because they didn't want to fall under the Negro law. That's what's sending you to prison. That's what they just pull you over, frisking, stop and frisk. That's what it's about. And I've been looking for my paper. I found it, and then I put it in somewhere else. And I've been looking for my black codes law. Yeah, 1724, sanctioned by your church. That's right. That's who sanctioned it. That's who wrote them, the black hole laws, to keep us in check. And now they're using them to criminalize you because under the 13th Amendment, you could be enslaved for crime. So everything you do, everything your black ass do is a crime. You everywhere, you every time you bit, barp, or fart, It's a crime. It's a fine. So they don't want to go under the Negro Act. So they let them know. Yeah, we subject to Morocco. We know where we at. We got a treaty and alliance with this corporation. And we not black. We free Moors. We reside in the state. So have you put them on people on notice of who you are and where you reside? Okay. So that's how that goes. Now, that was the Sundry Free Moors. Sundry Free Moors Act, South Carolina. Now, I got this other interesting paper we're going to get into here in a second. It's very interesting. And I had read this and I kept this from years back. I got this in 2017. And I was studying it. I ran across it. And just see how diabolical this demon is, this beast, this devil, this Satan, this dragon. And it's diabolical and wicked. So, clear with that. You got to stay vigilant. I'm going to read this to you. It's called the Racial Integrity Act of 1924. I got this from Wikipedia in 2017. Okay. This article may require cleanup to meet Wikipedia's quality standards. This specific problem is... The article first merges in the separate subject of the Virginia Sterilization Act of 1924. Okay, that's what we should deal with. It then goes off topic from that off topic into a general treatment of U.S. sterilization laws and eugenics doctrine, developing an essay like Personal Feces with unrecord statements that U.S. sterilization programs were minority specific and a program to exterminate all minorities. Okay. That's what this article is claiming, but I want you to read the details of this article. You see, people, a lot of you been out there, especially for the people, the families, or you've been in penal systems, jails and institutions, you know. If you got to go through their system and they got to give you medical or hit you with a needle every year or different stuff, you don't know what's going on, and they tell you it's for one thing, and you never know. So this article says, on March 20th, 1924, the Virginia General Assembly passed two laws that had arisen out of contemporary concerns about eugenics and race, SB 219, titled the Racial Integrity Act, and SB 281, State Bill, an act to provide for the sexual sterilization of inmates of state institutions in certain cases, henceforth referred to as the Sterilization Act. The Racial Integrity Act of 1924 was one of a series of laws designed to prevent interracial relationships. The Racial Integrity Act required that a racial description of every person be recorded at birth and divided society into two classifications, white and colored, essentially all other, which included numerous American Indians. It defined race by the one-drop rule, defining as colored persons with any African or Native American ancestry. It also expanded the scope of Virginia's ban on interracial marriage, anti-miscegenation law, by criminalizing all marriages between white persons and non-white persons. In 1967, the law was overturned by the United States Supreme Court in its ruling on Lovin versus Virginia. The Sterilization Act provided for compulsory sterilization of persons deemed to be feeble-minded, including the insane, idiotic, imbecile, or epileptic. These two laws were Virginia's implementation of Harry Laughlin's Model Eugenical Sterilization Law, published 2 years earlier in 1922. The Sterilization Act was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court in the case Buck v. Bell, 274 U.S. 200, 1927. This had appealed to the order for compulsory sterilization of Kerry Buck, who was an inmate in the Virginia State Colony for epileptics and feeble-minded, and her daughter and mother. Okay. So, this article, I'm going to go into some more of this article. But this article, they dealing with sterilization. So, look what it said. Okay. So they had the Pocahontas exception. The Racial Integrity Act was subject to the Pocahontas exception since many influential first families of Virginia claimed descent from Pocahontas, a daughter of the Powhatan. The legislator declared that a person could be considered white even if he or she had as much as 1/16 Native American ancestry. They could be considered white. Enforcement. Plecker, a leading eugenics physician who was the registrar of vital statistics from 1912 to 1946, lobbied for years to get the eugenics laws passed in Virginia. Once these laws were passed, Plecker was in a position to enforce them. Implementation and consequences. The combined effect of these two laws adversely affected the community of Virginia's American Indian tribes. The Racial Integrity Act called for only two racial categories to be recorded on birth certificates rather than the traditional six, white and colored, which now included Indian and all discernible mixed-race persons. The effects were quickly seen. In 1930, the U.S. Census for Virginia recorded 739 Indians. By 1940, that number had been reduced to 198. In effect, Indian was being erased as a group from official records. Listen, erasing you out the books. In addition, as Plecker admitted, he enforced the Racial Integrity Act, extending far beyond his jurisdiction in the segregated society. For instance, he pressured school superintendents to exclude mixed race, then called mulatto, children from white schools. Plecker ordered the exhumation of dead people of questionable ancestry from white cemeteries to be re-entered elsewhere. Ain't that something? Okay. Indians reclassified as colored. As registrar, Plecker directed the reclassification of nearly all Virginia Indians as colored on their birth and marriage certificates because he was convinced that most Indians had African heritage and were trying to pass as Indian to evade segregation. So you already know your history tied up in these states. Consequently, two or three generations of Virginia Indians had their ethnic identity altered on these public documents. So you believe you black and the slave now. All the time, you native, you aboriginal here. See? Fisk reported that Plecker's tampering with the vital records of the Virginia Indian tribes made it impossible for descendants of six of the eight tribes recognized by the state to gain federal recognition, see, because they could no longer prove their American Indian ancestry by documented historical continuity, see. A lot of us go through that when you try to trace back. Just being visited and watching my cameras and everything and all kinds of stuff. Watch you be at the doors and all that, man. Yeah, you got to be vigilant, man. You can't be bugging people in and then, you know what's going on. Okay. So that was that. Okay, so this involuntary sterilization. Historians have not estimated the impact of the miscegenation laws. There are records, however, of the number of people who were involuntarily sterilized during the years these two laws were in effect. Of the involuntary sterilizations reported in the United States prior to 1957, Virginia was second, having sterilized a total of 6,683 persons. That's probably deflated, probably way more than that. Many more women than men were sterilized, 4,043 to 2,640. Of those, 2,095 women were sterilized under the category of mentally ill and 1,875 under the category of mentally deficient. The remainder were for other reasons. California was first, having sterilized 19,985 people without their consent. Other states reported involuntary sterilization of similar numbers of people as Virginia. You know, y'all better wake up. Now you're going to the deaf doctors. Your open enemy. That's who you go to for health care, for medical, for everything. Take the shot. Take the shot, anime. We go to him for everything. Everything he say, you do. But look at this stuff. It's on the records. Oh, you believe him now? Oh, he turned, but you don't believe that dude. You don't believe the dude that he could turn and be good, or the dude don't believe that the woman could turn and be good. But you believe, oh, master could turn and be good. Like all these years, huh? Like all these years, he's been showing you how he do you and yours. Hey, you know what you gonna do, man? Go be yourself. That's what we got to do. That's what this thing we got to be ourselves. Everybody trying to rush to everything else. Focus on being yourself. That's what this is about right now, because you focus on being yourself. You search for the kingdom first, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all things be added unto you. That's what I'm doing. I'm searching for the kingdom of heaven, find out about myself and my kind, and save my people. And then everything else will come to it. I don't got to worry about nothing. I don't got to worry about no loans. I don't got to worry about no money, no none of that, because the earth is ours. Everybody got a place with some land to theirs. And people say, oh, what about the meantime? In the meantime, you got to know how to get by. Yeah, you got to put your plan together. You feel me? You got to put your sharp plan together. And you got to utilize that in this conformity with unity, starting with your own self, with your own house. You feel me? You're putting your plan together, making sure that y'all have y'all credentials right. Who are you? You feel me? And then utilizing that, putting that together so y'all could have leverage. Yeah. That's what you do. Instead of everybody going bowlegging and doing their own thing, and you got two good credit cards, but everybody else in the house don't got none. No, you go put the plan together to get everybody to where they functioning on the same plane, where everybody go whip out, and then you pull that together for your buying power. Now it's collected for y'all in the house, four incomes, four credibilities. You feel me? You can compound that. You feel me? And make it happen, Captain. And if you can't do that, then you plan. You got to put a plan together. You know, put a plan together. We got a lot of elders out there. Y'all don't even go see y'all grandmamas and great-grandmamas. Y'all just sitting around y'all in their own world. They sitting back. They got all the credit and all the assets. And they just go pass away. And then whatever y'all get, y'all just go squander it instead of putting that to use now and letting them see it work. And hey, granny, hey, great granny, you know, show them your ideas and stuff, and pull your credit together and get it back and co-sign in by an OG like that. You feel me? Yeah, let's put some funds behind you for the future generation. But y'all don't think like that. Y'all don't even care to go see them. You feel me? So, yeah, so they just sit out there, and then other people take care of them. Then other people take their money or their wheels and stuff, and then you wonder why you didn't get nothing. You never came around. Then when they pass away, you want to have your hand out. Yeah. So utilize them now. Show them, you feel me? Show them the love. Y'all use y'all buying power. So that's what this is about. It's about monopoly. You feel me? So, you know, now you got to go, you know, you're the monopoly boy. You're trying to work your way around. You just want a piece on every one. If you get both spots or all three spots, you know, it's one spot got two, and Park Place, the Blue and them over there is two. The rest of them, three. If you get, you know, two, and get the whole lot, or if you get a whole lot, I mean, that's good. You get a whole lot, you in there. But hey, if you just own a piece of one of the lots, you're good because you got interest. And that's what this is about, man. Leaders target minorities. An intention to control or reduce ethnic minorities, especially Negroes, can be seen in writings by some leaders in the eugenics movement. In an 1893 open letter published in the Virginia Medical Monthly, Hunter Holmes McGuire, a Richmond physician and president of the American Medical Association, asked for some scientific explanation of the sexual perversion in the Negro of the present day. McGuire's correspondent, Chicago physician G. Frank Liston, replied that African-American men raped white women because of hereditary influences descended from the uncivilized ancestors of our Negroes. Liston suggested that the solution to perform surgical castration would prevent the criminal from perpetuating his kind. In 1935, a decade after the passage of Virginia's eugenics laws, Fechner wrote to Walter Gross, director of Nazi Germany's Bureau of Human Betterment and Eugenics. Fechner described Virginia's racial purity laws and requested to be put on Gross's mailing list. Fechner commented upon the third wretched sterilization of 600 children in the Rhineland, the so-called Rhineland bastards who were born of German women by black French colonial fathers. I hope this work is complete and not one has been missed. I sometimes regret that we have not the authority to put some measures in practice in Virginia. Despite lacking the statutory authority to sterilize black, mulatto, and American Indian children simply because they were colored, a small number of Virginia eugenics in key positions found other ways to achieve that goal. The Sterilization Act gave state institutions, including hospitals, psychiatric institutions, and prisons, the statutory authority to sterilize persons deemed to be feeble-minded, a highly subjective criterion. Dr. Joseph DeJournette, director of the Western State Hospital in Staunton, Virginia, was a leading advocate of eugenics. Dorjanet was unsatisfied with the pace of America's eugenic sterilization programs. In 1938, he wrote, Germany in 6 years has sterilized about 80,000 of her unfit, while the United States, with approximately twice the population, has only sterilized about 27,859 in the past 20 years. The fact that there are 12 million defectives in the U.S. should arouse our best endeavors to push this procedure to the maximum. The Germans are beating us at our own game. I'm just going to stop right there for a second. Let me get the big boy dictionary. Let me go back in here for a minute. Random House. Eugenics. We're going to bring in ourselves up. Eugenics. The eugenics program. Y'all hear what they're saying? Y'all hear what they're sterilizing people without people knowing, huh? They find other ways they're going to do it, huh? Eugenic. Let me highlight this. Good. Eugenic. Of or bringing about improvement in the type of offspring produced. Two, having good inherited characteristics. Eugenist, a specialist in eugenics, an advocate of eugenic measures. Eugenics, the science of improving the qualities of the human race, especially by the careful selection of parents, the process of improving offspring. By the careful selection of parents. Breeding. Eugenics programs. They were sterilized. So, that's another thing, because we just go animalistic. We don't even understand the science of breeding and picking the right mate. We just way out. So, okay. Anyway, I just want to give you a bit for that. You guys can pull that up for yourself, too. It's called the Racial Integrity Act of 1924. Just going to show you. And don't think because it was from then that type of stuff is not going on now. And it's even more diabolical, more hot, more the science and technology is more advanced now. So it's being done in ways. Those shots could have been away right now. Those shots could have been away for that. Okay. Now I got McGirt here. McGirt, if you're not familiar with McGirt versus Oklahoma, Supreme Court case. Okay. We'll get into that for a second here. Okay. This is to the Court of Appeal. This is argued on May 11, 2020. Okay. Well, this is McGirt versus Oklahoma. Okay. This is the Major Crimes Act provides that within the Indian country, any Indian who commits certain enumerated offenses shall be subject to the same law and penalties as all other persons committing any of those offenses within the exclusive jurisdiction of the United States. Now, let me tell y'all something. Y'all got to understand language. When y'all reading stuff, you got to read what it's saying. Again, the Major Crimes Act provides that within the Indian country, any Indian who commits certain enumerated offenses shall be subject to the same law and penalties as all other persons. See, it's for this story, discriminating to any Indians who commit certain enumerated offenses shall be subject to the same law and penalties as all other persons committing any of those offenses. They got that word person, all other persons again. Within the exclusive jurisdiction of the United States. Then here go the code. Anybody been in the penal system, you know this code. 18 U.S.C. Okay, section 1153A. Indian country includes all land within the limits of any Indian reservation under the jurisdiction of the United States government. Okay, that's what they claim, like the major crime. Petitioner Jim C. McGirt, was convicted by an Oklahoma state court of 3 serious sexual offenses. He unsuccessfully argued in state court, post-conviction proceedings, that the state lacked jurisdiction to prosecute him in post-conviction. Listen, because this is what I've been teaching my prisoners in prison, obviously, that the family that's been kidnapped, okay? He challenged them post-conviction. He unsuccessfully argued in state post-conviction proceedings that the state lacked the jurisdiction to prosecute him because he is an enrolled member of the Seminole Nation and his crimes took place on the Creek Reservation. He seeks a new trial, which he contends must take place in federal court. Held for NCA purposes, land reserved for the Creek Nation since the 19th century remains Indian country. That's what the Supreme Court held. Okay. A, Congress established a reservation for the Creek Nation. An 1833 treaty fixed the borders for a permanent home to the whole Creek Nation of Indians. That is Statutory 418, and promised that the United States would grant a patent in fee simple to the Creek Nation of Indians for the assigned land to continue so long as they shall exist as a nation and continue to occupy the country hereby assigned to them. The patent formally issued in 1852. Though the early treaty did not refer to the Creek land as a reservation, similar language in treaties from the same era has been held sufficient to create a reservation. Okay? And later acts of Congress referring to the Creek reservation leave no room for doubt. In addition, an 1856 treaty promised that no portion of Creek lands would ever be embraced or included within or annexed to any territory or state. Bam! And that the Creeks would have the unrestricted right of self-government with full jurisdiction over enrolled tribe members and their property. Okay. Congress has since broken more than a few promises to the tribe. Nevertheless, the Creek reservation persists today. One, once a federal reservation is established, only Congress can diminish or disestablish it. Doing so requires a clear expression of congressional intent. Oklahoma claims that Congress ended the Creek Reservation during the so-called allotment era, a period when Congress sought to pressure many tribes to abandon their communal lifestyles and parcel their lands into smaller lots owned by individual tribe members. Missing from the allotment era agreement with the Creek, C-31 Statute 862 through 864, however, is any statute inviting anything like the present and total surrender of all tribal interests in the affected lands. And this court has already rejected the argument that allotments automatically ended reservations. Three, Oklahoma points to other ways Congress intruded on the Creeks' promised right to self-governance during the allotment era, including abolishing the Creeks' tribal courts and required presidential approval for certain tribal ordinances. But these laws fall short of eliminating all tribal interests in the contested lands. Four, Oklahoma ultimately claims that historical practice and demographics are enough by themselves to prove disestablishment. This court has consulted contemporary usages, customs, and practices to the extent they shed light on the meaning of ambiguous statutory terms. But Oklahoma points to no ambiguous language in any of the relevant statutes that could plausibly be read as an act of cession. Such extratextual considerations are of limited interpretive value. Nebraska versus Parker, and the least compelling form of evidence, South Dakota versus Yankton Sioux Tribe. In the end, Oklahoma resorts to the state's long historical practice of prosecuting Indians in state court for serious crime on the contested lands. Various statements made during the allotment era and the speedy and persistent movement of white settlers into the area, but these supply little help with the law of meaning and much potential for mischief. See, they busting the state down. Ain't gonna get no revenue. You're persecuting them. Listen, black folks, y'all keep saying y'all black. Listen. Okay. See, in the alternative, Oklahoma contends that Congress never established a reservation, but instead created a dependent Indian community. To hold that the Creek never had a reservation will require willful blindness to the statutory language and a belief that the land pattern the Creek received somehow made their tribal sovereignty easier to divest. Congress established a reservation, not a dependent Indian community for the Creek Nation. D. Even assuming that the Creek land is a reservation, Oklahoma argues that the MCA has never applied in eastern Oklahoma. It claims that the Oklahoma Enabling Act, which transferred all non-federal cases pending in the territorial courts to Oklahoma state courts, made the state courts the successors to the federal territorial courts, meaning the people, sweeping authority to try Indians for crimes committed on reservations. That argument, however, rests on state prosecutorial practices that defy the MCA rather than on the law plain terms. E. Finally, Oklahoma warns of the potential consequences that will follow a ruling against it, such as unsettling an untold number of convictions, overturning convictions, and frustrating the state's ability to prosecute crimes in the future. No future revenues, pulling you over, prosecuting you, getting all them fees, extortion out of you. This court is aware of the potential for cost and conflict around jurisdictional boundaries. But Oklahoma and its tribes have proven time and again that they can work successfully together as partners, and Congress remains free to supplement its statutory directions about the lands at question any time. Opinion. So Justice Gorsuch delivered the opinion for the court. And it says, on the far end of the Trail of Tears, with a promise, forced to leave their ancestral lands in Georgia and Alabama, the Creek Nation received assurances that their new lands in the West would be secure forever. In exchange for ceding all their land east of the Mississippi River, the U.S. government agreed by treaty that the Creek country west of the Mississippi shall be solemnly guaranteed to the Creek Indians. Treaty with the Creeks, Articles 1, 14, March 24, 1832, 7th Statute 366, 368, 1832 Treaty. Both parties settled on boundary lines for a new and permanent home for the whole Creek Nation, located in what is now Oklahoma. Now, when they say Creek, that's not one, it's one people, but when you say Creek, you got, you know, Choctaw, you know, different tribes, you got different tribes in the Seminole, yeah, so you got to understand, you got different tribes inside of that, you say Creek, so, you know, Cherokee, and you, so you gotta identify yourself, okay? So it said, today we are asked whether the land these treaties promises remains an Indian reservation for purposes of federal criminal law, because Congress has not said otherwise. We hold the government to its word. Okay. So that's what they go going into. This it's too long to read you the full case. You got to go get it for yourself. McGurk versus Oklahoma, but the Supreme Court, they will have to overturn all that stuff in Oklahoma. They told them, yeah, it's over with. You can't, this is set aside. You can't criminalize them people under the Negro Act. See, that's what they're being criminalized under. They've been criminalized under the Negro or the Indian tag, and they already know that that's a coined by the corporation. That's a property tag. So, see, you hit the jurisdiction is a big thing, man. It depends on who are you. That's when they're pulling you over. They want to know who are you. And when you pull out that ID or that license or whatever, you're running down there to the DMV, not understanding what type of agency that is, that's a commercial agency. They're dealing with commercial affairs, and you're going down there to get a commercial license. But you're not driving an Uber or Lyft or nothing. You're traveling. And you ain't understanding the semantics and the language and etymology. You ain't understanding none of that. So you're going down there, and you're going to get this license, which if you understand what a license is, you're getting the permission to do something otherwise would have been illegal. It's illegal to drive in commerce without a license, but you had to get one. But you didn't know that you was in commerce. So you gave up your birthright, your inalienable rights, and for privileges to drive. So now you got to wear a seatbelt. Now you got to turn on that blinker. Now you can't smoke, can't drink, can't drive fast. You say, well, why would I do anything of that? If it's the first place, that's against the law. What law? Whose law? Now, you can't drive as fast as you want to? Well, you could hurt somebody. You could hurt somebody. You could hurt somebody at the regular speed. And about if you could, it's about when if you do. Then that's when it's a crime that's committed. If somebody has a claim against you, it has to be a physical person, not a corporation. So understand that. So when they pull you over and you give them your ales, you're like, here you go. You think you want something, but all you're doing is giving them a use. And that's saying to them, when they pull you over and you give it to them, they say, oh, that's my nigga right there. Because it got the state seal on there. You don't see it? It's right there. It got the state seal. State up. Corporation. That's saying who has jurisdiction. So that's why they could mess with you. And that's why you could have licensing and insurance. Roll down anyone and they smell smoke. Oh, we got the right to fiber call to do this and this and that. Oh, you can't have nothing in your car. You can't transport nothing. Man, you got the right to travel. But you got that in your body. So you're showing you gave up that. So you got to understand that. You got to understand what you're dealing with. And there's a lot of contracts that we have made that we need to undo. Yeah, a lot of contracts that we have made that we need to undo. And that's where it starts at right there. So Congress made them overturn that. That's the same as the Sundry Free thing, from the Sundry Free Moore Act. That's what they're telling them. You can't prosecute them under those criminal enumerated offenses. How many times you heard that language? Now, you can't criminalize them under that. But that's what being under the black laws. You want to be black? That's what you're going to get if you want to be black. So if you want to be black, that's what goes on. So we got to come out of that, at least go back into your ancestry and understand you was here and you were before black. So what about this, what we had went into before, the Articles of the Federation? Understand and listen, folks. The right kind of information is what we need. This seems like it don't mean nothing, but it do. The right kind of information and going backwards and reconditioning your mind, receiving the right information so you can undo what's been done. And that's just real. And I'm trying to tell you, if you don't understand what's before you, the system, then understanding who you are in conjunction with that so you can really breathe and live. Because you really them people, you feel me? And this is your land. You got home. And understanding that, understanding you got the right to a piece of this and identifying yourself so you can be in position to get that. You and your whole family, not just you, saving your whole family, really being free. 40 acres in the mule times everybody that you bring home. Come on now, wake your game up. This is it. You feel me? So right now, we're going to get you enough piece of land to work in the ground and, you know, all inclusive, everybody. So the federal and state constitutions, colonial charters, and other organic laws of the states, territories, and colonies now or heretofore forming the United States of America. Again, these are the Articles of Confederation, right? Okay. Listen to what it says. It says again, the federal and state constitutions, colonial charters, and other organic laws of the states, territories, and colonies, now or heretofore forming the United States of America. So the United States of America is made up of federal and state constitutions, right? It just said that, colonial charters and or other organic laws. Of what? Of states. So the United States is made up of states, territories, and colonies. Oh, y'all don't know that, huh? Oh, well, all you know is the United States, Nebraska, Oklahoma, New York. You just know states. What about territories? How many territories do you know? How many territories do they teach y'all in class at master school? Master didn't teach you about no territories? How many colonies? Oh, he told you about some of the colonies, Virginia and the Plymouth colonies, huh? But although it says, listen to this form again. Remember, we got to read stuff. The federal and state constitutions, colonial charters, and other organic laws of the states, territories, and colonies now or heretofore forming the United States of America. That's what this form starts off. Okay, so let me go to the next page. It says, the Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies of New England, 1643 through 1684. The Articles of Confederation between the plantations under the government of the Massachusetts, the plantations under the government of New Plymouth, the plantations under the government of Connecticut, and the government of New Haven, with the plantations in combination therewith. Whereas we all came into these parts of America, or back. So, the Articles, the plantations, the original ones, is going to be under the government of who? Okay, one is Massachusetts. Okay, under the plantation under the government of New Plymouth. Okay, plantation under the government of Connecticut. Okay, government of New Haven, with the plantation in combination therewith. So that was 1, 2, 3, 4 plantations at the top, right? Now, what kind of plantations were these? 1643, 1684. Because all you've been taught is that you was on a plantation. But have you ever heard of Slavic plantations where Europeans was working as indentured servants, and that's what they was over here doing? The trade in Africans was something else after. So look what they said. Whereas we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if they came over here to advance that, and evidently that wasn't here, or they didn't know that it was here. So they show if it was brotherly love, what they was bringing and blessing with, it sure didn't work that way for us, because we got blood. All we got is stars and bars. That's all we've been getting. Stars and bars. So I'm trying to say, if that's something I want to follow. Yeah, all this doing is giving me hell. There's no brotherly love under it. You don't even treat me as your brother. You want me to follow that? And then my brother, who you openly crucified, you put him on the cross, and I'm supposed to wear it? I'm supposed to wear a semblance of that? So somebody come to your hood, knock you off, and then sell emblems with your folks on it, and you go buy one and put it on? We done lost our minds, man. I had to put it to you that way so you can see it. They gonna come to your hood, knock you off, and then go sell ornaments with your folks on it, and you go buy one and rock it. Okay, right. You claiming them, though. You claiming them, but you steady rocking. Every time we see, like, man, family. And wasn't that your man? And you like, and you got it on, man. Okay, so yeah. Anyway, whereas we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace. And whereas in our settling, by a wise providence of God, we are further dispersed upon the sea, coast, and rivers than was at first intended, so that we cannot, according to our desire, with convenience communicate in one government and jurisdiction. And whereas we live in compass with people of several nations and strange languages, which hereafter may prove injurious to us or our posterity. And forasmuch as the natives have formerly committed sundry infamous and outrages upon several plantations of the English, and have of late combined themselves against us, and seeing by reason of those bad distractions in England, which they have heard of, and by which they know we are hindered from that humble way of seeking advice, or reaping those comfortable fruits of protection, which at other times we might well expect. They was left out here stranded. We therefore do concede it our bounden duty, without delay, to enter into a present consociation among ourselves, for mutual help and strength in all our future concernments. That as a nation and religion, so in other respects, we be and continue one according to the tenure and true meaning of the ensuing articles. Wherefore it is fully agreed and concluded by and between the parties or jurisdiction above named, and that jointly and severally do by these presidents agree and conclude that they all be and henceforth be called by the name of the United Colonies of New England. 2. The said United Colonies for themselves and their posterities do jointly and severally hereby enter into a firm and perpetual league of friendship and amity for offense and defense, mutual advice and succor upon all the just occasions, both for preserving and propagating the truth and liberties of the gospel and for their own mutual safety and welfare. 3. It is further agreed that the plantations which at present are or hereafter shall be settled within the limits of the Massachusetts shall be forever under the Massachusetts and shall have peculiar jurisdiction among themselves in all cases as entire body, and that Plymouth, Connecticut, and New Haven shall each of them have like peculiar jurisdiction and government within their limits. And in reference to the plantations which already are settled or shall hereafter be erected or shall settle within their limits respectively, provided no other jurisdiction shall hereafter be taken in as a distinct head or member of this confederation.
nor shall any other plantation or jurisdiction in Pennsylvania, and not already in combination or under the jurisdiction of any of these confederates, be received by any of them, nor shall any two of the confederates join in one jurisdiction without consent of the rest, which consent to be interpreted as then expressed in the sixth article ensuing.
So this shows you what the original colonies or states or whatever you want to call them was. So the Connecticut, the Massachusetts, the Plymouth, and the New Haven. Okay, and whatever some of the ones that were in conjunction with those. Okay, so that was your original state. Now, each state is a nation, but each state is inside of a territory. So, for instance, let's say the West Coast. Let's say Oregon, Washington, and let's say Utah. And let's say those three states, all right, Nevada. Let's say Nevada, California. Oregon. Let me see. Those three are states, right? But those three might reside, it might be four states that reside in one territory. Now, whose territory is it? Now, that's another question. Okay, so don't get it confused when you see a state, because the state is really doing business. That's what it's called. That's what it's called the state of. It's doing business in those boundaries. But those boundaries are in territories belonging to, that's right, UNITY. That's right. So understanding that. So the first one was 1643. Then they came out with another one, and they revised. And it's the 70 Articles of Confederation in 1777. And they go on with the different ones they got in there, and Rhode Island. It's good reading, man. If you go through and read it, you'll get an understanding of how the alliance was formed, the Confederation. You can understand to who they have treaties with, who helped finance them, you know, that type of stuff. So when you understand that and who you are, it's time to step up. So the bottom line is calling yourself black and keep signing contracts that you're black is getting you in a world of trouble. At least if you were saying you were Indian, okay, you might be on a, well, I shouldn't say you're going to be on a reservation, because that's up to you how you contracted. But when you're saying you're Indian, that's the same as saying you're black. Negro, black, colored, Indian, all those, African-American, those are coins. Now, you go down to, now, when you're saying you Creek, and you Seminole, and you Choctaw, and you Cherokee, now you're getting somewhere. See, now you're getting somewhere. But when you're saying Indian, nah, this ain't India. Hello? Okay. Y'all heard that? Yeah, this not India. Yeah, so you need to identify with who you are. And then start, you know, working forward. So it's not hard. Live low, y'all. Live peaceful. Live low. Quit trying to chase after the other gods. Quit trying to chase after all their clothing and their bags and all that. Create something. Leave something for yourself. You feel me? Live low. Live humble. Live peaceful. If they put you in one of them cans, that's how you will live, males or females. You will have on khakis and, make, you know, buy whatever shoes you can get from commissary. You will have on khakis. You will walk around in the same pair of colored clothes for all the time you're there. So do like the Chinese and everybody else. Go to Walmart and get you some clothes. That sounds funny, huh? It keeps you some money in your pocket. Keep you some money in my pocket. I've learned that. Man, walk around in sweats and stuff all the time. You know, you got you something nice and you need to go somewhere. But yeah, what you going to spend all that money for? For what? Stuff you going to outgrow or wear, time, you know, get tired of? It's just done. You got to start putting your coins in the right place. If you redirect your coins, and every month you can put your coins into yourself, into something, I don't care if it's $400, $500, $1,000, $2,000, you can put into something that's going to grow for your future, you in the good. But most people don't do that. Most people just hoard. They just stack and just hoard, but it ain't invested in nothing. There's no asset. It ain't backed by nothing. So if you ain't backed by nothing, it ain't nothing. You feel me? People want assets. You feel me? What do you have as collateral? Okay, we see you got this money. What do you have as collateral? Sorry. You don't have no collateral. So you got to understand that. So get your game up. You know, get yourself together. It's not a fast race. You feel me? The turtle won every time. Yeah, the turtle won every time. Everybody got their money on. Everybody want to be fast. Okay, fast and ass get you slowed down. Yeah, fast get you slowed down. Y'all better slow down. Take your time. Read, study, you know. everybody want to be spiritual and everybody breathe, supposed to be breathing right and all this, but everybody chasing a dollar, a paper dollar, because they're just trying to get yourself together. Just continue to live low. If they put you in the game, if they put you in that can, you got to live low. I don't care how much money you got, you still got to live low. You're going to be limited. So live low. Live low, put your plan together, work it. Work that plan together, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20-year plan. Yeah, leave something for a generation or two behind you. Can you do that? That's bossing up. Do that. Leave some generational wealth. It don't take long if you know what you're doing. It don't take long to set it up, the Monopoly board. Not you, as you're doing it for yourself, but you're setting it up for your people, for the whole board. Yeah, it don't take long. Believe that. You can have the wheels rolling, but you got to put into yourself. You got to sacrifice in a lot of different ways and put into the right ways. Guns and butter, baby. Yeah, we ain't chasing material things. Oh, that's what we added on to you. Guns and butter, baby. Okay, for being that. So that's what this is about. The word today was republic. We're about to get out of here. And the word was republic. Okay, a system of government in which the people hold sovereign power and elect representatives who exercise that power. It contrasts, I mean, it's the difference from, on the other hand, with a pure democracy in which the people or community as an organized hold, wield, that means they give, the sovereign power of government. And on the other, with the rule of one person, such as a king, emperor, tsar, or sultan. So in a democracy, you give your power over. People say, oh, Republican, Democrat. Okay, well, which one? Republic is a system of government in which the people hold sovereign power and elect representatives who exercise that power. In contrast to a pure democracy in which the people or community as an organized hold give up their sovereign power to the government, okay, of government. Now, why did I say this? Because let me go back to the Constitution. Okay. Let me show you what the Constitution says. As we get on out of here for the day, I thank y'all for coming through. I really do. I thank y'all for coming through, visiting, you know, learning something. Okay. In the Constitution, okay? In Article 4, Section 2, Section 3, it says, in Article 4, Section 4, it says, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Hello? And go down further. In Article 6, it says, the Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. Okay. So the Constitution and the treaties is the supreme law of the land. You're going to jail under statutes and laws. You're not going to jail under the supreme law of the land. You're going under statutes and codes made for corporate persons, because you are an artificial person. Ted, go watch the movie Ted and Ted 2. You are an artificial person. So once again, I thank you. I thank you for coming through. See y'all again tomorrow. We'll jump into some more stuff. Yeah, we every day now, Monday through Friday, man. Morning drip, man. We'll get it dripping. We'll get some more boost, some stronger coffee or whatever you need, and we'll get it going, all right? I appreciate y'all, man. Peace, love, and keep coming through. You know.